If this is what it means to follow Christ, if I'm going to face hardship and it appears to be like this, why would they continue in following Him? Or maybe you have the similar temptation to think, well, if following Christ involves hardship or ridicule, why would I put up with that? The believers in ancient Thessalonica not only endured the trials, but they persevered in all various kinds of trials. Why? Well, one, Paul says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Ancient faith for today's world. November 13th, 2022. 2 Thessalonians 1, 5-10.
The heroes are running out of an exploding building. There's gunfire everywhere and they're surrounded. And yet as you watch, you know how the story goes and you're watching that movie and you know the heroes are going to win in the end. So what keeps us watching? It's not so much knowing that they're going to win, it's wondering how and when it's going to happen. You know, whether you consider yourself the good guy or not, it's what you are now in Christ. And as those who follow Christ, we will face many challenges and trials and attacks. And there'll be times where we might wonder just how and when things are going to take place in the end. Where we know Christ says we win and that He wins in the end, but how do we win with Him? Well, when we begin to wonder that, we find the answer in God's Word. And today we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And there Paul, who was chased out of the city of Thessalonica, writes back to them, reminding them of the coming victory as they too face their struggles. And as we look at these words of our God, we see that in the end, you will see our Lord Jesus return. He will return to judge and to be glorified. You know, the Christians in ancient Thessalonica weren't having life on easy street. They were facing many hardships and struggles. One of them, named Jason, in fact, had been dragged out by a mob that wanted to put him in front of that angry mob and question him because he had supported Paul, who taught Christ. Jason, along with the other Christians in ancient Thessalonica, were learning just what Paul had meant when he spoke to Christians in other places. We must go through many trials to enter the kingdom of God. Jason and the Christians in ancient Thessalonica experienced it firsthand. Christ describes the way of salvation, that is, living in Him, through faith in Him. And he describes the life of a Christian as being on a narrow road. Well, if it's a narrow road, it's also a bumpy road. But you know, Jason and the ancient Thessalonians weren't the only ones. The Apostle Paul had been himself, along with Silas, thrown into prison after he'd been beaten with rods in the previous city. And then when he came to Thessalonica, he didn't find it any better, as he was forced to flee the city for his life. And when Paul and his companions made it to the next city, there we see he was mocked in his belief of the resurrection. Paul, too, could say to the Thessalonian Christians, he says, that they are suffering along with us as well. But don't be surprised. As you look at the readings about the ancient Christians, the apostles who suffered, the believers who suffered in the early church, don't be surprised if that suffering overflows beyond them into your experience. What Paul says here is that they are suffering because they are following Christ. You too follow Christ and should expect suffering. Maybe you're not being dragged out of the city. Maybe you're not fleeing for your life. But would you be surprised if it would come to that someday? The Apostle Peter says, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as if though something strange were coming on you. All believers will face hardships and trials, along with the believers in the ancient church, all believers everywhere throughout and across time. So how do you face it? When the struggles come, you'll find that it may be mocking, it may be ridicule, it may be at times persecution that causes us pain. And that suffering that we face right now could be as small as mockery, but we do face persecution. And when we face it, how are we going to stand up to it? The believers in ancient Thessalonica could have thought, if this is what it means to follow Christ, if I'm going to face hardship and it appears to be like this, why would they continue in following him? Or maybe you have the similar temptation to think, well, if following Christ involves hardship or ridicule, why would I put up with that? If following him doesn't immediately mean I'm on easy street, why would I care to follow him? Paul writes to the Thessalonian believers, and he says, what they're doing, what they're facing as they endure persecution means something. He says in verse 4, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. The believers in ancient Thessalonica not only endured the trials, but they persevered in all various kinds of trials. Why? Well, one, Paul says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. See, when a Christian like these ancient Thessalonians faced suffering, it's actually evidence. It shows, it demonstrates that they belong to God, that they are against the devil and this world which is opposed to God. When you face suffering, take comfort in knowing that it's not something odd or strange that you are suffering. Don't find it as something unexpected, but rather expect it and know it merely demonstrates that you are who you are. You belong to Christ, not to this world. But there's more comfort here for the ancient Thessalonians and for us than merely suffering showing who we are. No, there's more. God will show us a complete turnaround of roles. We are like those who are surrounded and outgunned and outnumbered in the movie, and we know as we watch, the reverse will take place. And we see here God telling us how it will take place. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. God's going to win. That is our comfort. We know how the story ends, that our God will always triumph. And as much as this world might want to mock, ridicule, or put hardship on God's people, they know that God always wins. And God will bring judgment and pay back those who cause suffering to his church. And how will this take place? And when will this take place? He says, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, he's not going to come like his first coming, which was in lowliness with the angels declaring this humble birth. But no, he's going to come with his powerful angels in all of his glory, and he'll be revealed from heaven in blazing fire. This will happen when Jesus comes again as judge. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And here where it says those who do not know God, it doesn't mean simply those who haven't heard. It also means just those who don't believe. Without faith in God, knowing him as Savior and trusting in him, there is only punishment from him on Judgment Day. And this punishment is not like the punishment we have in our prisons, which is set for a finite time or sentence. He says, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. This punishment is real and will last for the rest of eternity. When Jesus comes again, time will cease. Time as we understand it. And for the rest of eternity, God's declaration will be that his enemies will remain punished. God punishes sinners. Hell is real. He says they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. God will say to those who are his enemies, "Away from me, you who are cursed." And they will be shut out from his glorious presence to only face his wrath and punishment forever in hell. This is God's response to the suffering of his people. He comes to bring punishment on all his enemies. You know, I've had people tell me that you're too gentle to be one of those fire and brimstone preachers who mentions about punishment in hell. And I'm glad they've noticed. I preach the gospel. That's what I'm about. But behind the gospel is this message of God's punishment on every sinner, an eternal, everlasting punishment with the fires of hell. God's punishment is real. And as much as I don't like talking about it or thinking about it or preaching on it, it is the backdrop from which the gospel illuminates. He says, they will be shut out from the presence of the Lord. Imagine the terror of being shut out from the mercy of God. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among those who have believed. See, Paul mentions God's punishment, his everlasting punishment, for a reason here. It's not just so the Thessalonians can gloat on the day of judgment when God comes, but so they can remember and realize that they have been rescued from this, that when God comes again, they are not included among those who will be punished, but they are included among those who will marvel at Jesus at his return. He will be glorified in his holy people and marveled among all those who believe. And the comfort here is they will marvel at him not because they are different in any way, not because they have done something to escape the punishment, not because they have earned God's favor by what they have accomplished. But no, it says they will marvel at Christ along with those who have believed. They believed the testimony about Jesus. He says, this includes you because you believed our testimony to you. It is through faith in Jesus that they have escaped the punishment of hell and the destruction of all God's enemies and the everlasting fires, and that they will see Jesus come again in all of his glory, and they will marvel at him along with all believers. This includes you. You, along with all who believed God's testimony about Jesus. The testimony is that Jesus came. And when he first came, the angels proclaimed peace to all on whom his favor rests. And he came in lowliness to this world, not to bring punishment, but to bring rescue. And when Jesus first came to this world, he veiled his glory, and in lowliness, the Son of God lived in human flesh. He did that so he could live in holiness for us and in our place. And for the punishment that we deserved, he took it. He took it away from us. And as it said, the eternal one, Christ, suffered the eternal price for us. He did this once for all as he gave his life on the cross. That's why Christ came. But we know, though he was apparently outnumbered and outgunned, we know how the story ends. He rose again in victory. He ascended in glory, and he will come again in glory to be marveled at among all those who have believed. You will see Christ our Lord come again, and he will come again as judge. But for you who believe, he will come so that he will be glorified, and we will marvel at him when he comes again. Because you believe this testimony about the Christ who came, lived for you, died for you, rose again in victory, and is coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and to redeem and deliver his own, those who trust in him. You know, there will be times when you will face trials. There will be times when it seems like the world is against you, as you follow Christ. But as you do, find comfort in this. First of all, it's only evidence that you belong to God and that His judgment is just. And furthermore, you know how the movie ends. You believe the testimony of Jesus, who will come again in blazing glory to judge and bring punishment on all of His enemies. But that does not include you. But you, who believe, will marvel at Christ in the day of His return and glory in Him, the one who has rescued you from punishment. We see how the movie ends. And now we know the how and the when. God will do it. He will do it when His Son returns in glory.